Let's say, is that on or not? Is that on? Okay, let's just bow our heads and pray for a minute. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to receive the light of your truth. Father, we pray that we receive your great gift of Jesus and walk faithfully in his light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, happy Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. There are lots of good things to enjoy at this time of the year, aren't there? Family, friends, presents, Christmas jumpers, all sorts of lovely things. But the best thing has to be, as a Christian, to sing about the birth of our Saviour. Birth of our Saviour. That's wonderful, isn't it? The best thing. And we come, as Phyllis said, to the final song of Advent, surrounding the birth of Jesus, this praise surrounding the birth of Jesus. And as we've seen, it's sung by a man called Simeon in the temple in Jerusalem. He's probably not a priest in Israel, but it seems to be an elder of Israel, and he's called righteous and devout. A righteous and devout servant of the Lord. This is interesting, isn't it? He goes into the temple, the Holy Spirit is upon him, he goes into the temple, and at the sight of Jesus, he bursts into praise. He blesses God at the sight of Jesus. So we're just going to think a few moments this morning. Why? Why is that? What's wrapped up in this child, Jesus? Well, firstly, I think what Simeon sees is that Jesus is the long-promised and carefully prepared gift of God. The long-promised and carefully prepared gift of God. No staffy short titles for a Sunday Christmas sermon, okay? It's a long-promised and carefully prepared gift of God. Well, most of you will have received presents this morning, and there's something about a nicely wrapped present, isn't there? Something about a nicely wrapped present that helps us appreciate the care of the giver, the care that's gone into presenting this gift. Helps us appreciate the care of the giver, and also draws attention to what lies inside that wrapping paper. Likewise, this gift of God, of whom we've sung this morning, is so unique. And God's love, his care, so great that he's wrapped up with the utmost attention to detail. We read in verse 31 that he's been prepared, this gift has been prepared in the presence of all peoples. It's not stuffed under a little tree. In the presence of all peoples, of all nations. And as you read through, you can read through the Old Testament. If you've might have come across that book from Tim Chester, and he brings us through the Old Testament, coming up to this moment, you can trace Lord's dealings with Israel. All this preparation that's gone into giving this gift. But here, particularly in this passage, we see this promise of a gift wrapped up in the law of the Lord. You notice that? How often is mentioned here the law of the Lord? Sometimes we don't often think about that. We think about the promise. This gift has been wrapped up in the law of the Lord. It's highlighted three times, the law. See, Mary and Joseph, they've come to the temple on a twofold mission. Okay, they've come to offer the sacrifice for purification after childbirth, according to what is said in the law of the Lord. And they've also come to present Jesus to the Lord. Listen to this. As it is written in the law of the Lord, that every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So what's all that about? That's a really important verse here. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. What's all that about? Well, is pointing us back to the Exodus. Christmas Day, you automatically think about the Israelites being taken out of Egypt, don't you? Well, no, but this is what the passage is all about. It's pointing us back to Exodus. And the Lord is Israel's Redeemer. See, when the Lord released the children of Israel from slavery, he did it through first passing through Egypt in judgment, the judgment of death upon all the firstborn of the land. And through the provision of a substitute, a Passover lamb, the blood of the Passover lamb, the firstborn of Israel were redeemed from death. They were delivered from death. Judgment passed over them. And from then on, in the law that God had given to Israel, the firstborn sons of Israel were to be given, they were to be consecrated to the Lord. Okay, it's to remind them of what had taken place, what the Lord had done for them in Israel. But the Lord had made this twofold redeeming provision. Okay, firstly, instead of taking all the firstborn, he actually set aside whole tribe of Levi to serve him. And that released the rest of Israel from their obligation. So the parents now were to take their firstborn sons. They were to present them to the Lord, but they were able to pay 5 shekels to release their children from that debt. So redemption. It's all about redemption, okay? What is redemption? Well, clearly involves release, doesn't it? Release from bondage through outside help. It speaks of our weakness. Weakness makes it necessary. And only someone strong enough, powerful enough, can effect it. The Lord is Israel's Redeemer. The Lord is Israel's Redeemer. And praise God for that this morning. And it was wrapped up in the law. Lots of many other offerings and sacrifices were in the law as well, stipulated for Israel to faithfully keep. What was the point of all that? Well, Paul tells us in Galatians 3:19, that the law was added because of transgressions. So that Israel was delivered from Egypt, but the law laid bare Israel's continuing weakness, enslavement, not to Pharaoh, but enslavement to sin that carried on. And their need to be fully and finally redeemed from sin's power, from the guilt of sin, and from the judgment of death. To enjoy a fully and complete restored relationship with the Lord forever. It was added, Paul tells us, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. Until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. That's thinking about the promise to Abraham. So what were Mary and Joseph doing here in the temple? Well, they're clearly taking part in God's great gift wrapping exercise. Okay, this is part of God's great gift wrapping. They're looking back to their Redeemer. They're looking back to their Exodus redemption, but they're also anticipating, looking forward to the promise of God's greater redemption to come. They're still in weakness. But there's a promised full and final redemption to come. We see here also in the passage that Simeon, too, had been waiting. These had been waiting years for Simeon. I don't know what it's like for you to try to sleep on Christmas Eve. As a child, I don't know, maybe as an adult, you find it hard to sleep anticipating what's going to come in the morning, the promise of what's going to come. And there's just something of that here in this passage. Simeon's looking forward in hope and anticipation. See in verses 25 and 26, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Why? Because it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It's a personal promise to God's righteous and devout servant. Revealed to him that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a promise. What a promise that is to receive, isn't it? So who is this Lord's Christ? Well, he's the agent of the Lord's consolation, isn't he? The agent of the Lord's salvation. It's throwing us back, it's directing us back to basically to Isaiah. You read the whole Isaiah chapters 40 to 66, and you get the Lord's consolation. There's loads of themes running through. Redemption, the Lord is Redeemer, the one who's going to console and comfort Israel. The one who is going to do so through the servant, is the Lord's chosen servant. And that's what we have here in this passage. The one who's going to console Israel is the servant of the Lord. It's the one through whom the redemption is going to come. And we see also that he's linked with and is also the long-promised Messiah. He's the Lord's Christ. He's the one through whom the Lord is finally and fully going to redeem, going to comfort his people. So what's Simeon doing? Well, he's the Lord's watchman, isn't he? He's placed there by the Lord to wait, to look out. And he's posted to announce that arrival of Israel's consolation. So just picture the scene for a moment. Imagine you're in Israel. Year after year after year after year, for centuries, this scene has been played out in the temple. Looking back, looking forward, and when's the Lord going to act? When is he going to act? We read here that Simeon, Holy Spirit is upon him. Simeon is led by the Spirit. This is all orchestrated by the Lord. He's led by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus, what happens? He took him up in his arms and he blessed God. Took him up in his arms, received this child, and he blessed God. In one moment, that hope turns to joy. One moment, that hope turns to joy. What's happened? Well, dawn has broken, hasn't it? The darkness has broken. Dawn has come. Here we have no longer a lovely wrapped gift. Here we have the unwrapped gift of God. Lord's salvation. And Simeon's joy is immediately expressed in praise, isn't it? The first response to receiving Jesus is praise. He praises God in two ways. Firstly, he praises the Lord for his faithfulness. Look in verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. According to your word. All that was personally promised to him, all that's revealed to him about the promises given to Israel, has happened according to the word of God, just as God said it would. So he's ready to die, essentially. He's ready to depart in peace. Because he's seen in Jesus the fulfillment of God's promise. His hope in the Lord has been, and he knows it will be, well-placed. He's got grounds for hope. The word of the Lord. The Lord fulfills his promises. And then Simeon gives praise to the Lord for the content of that gift. For the content of that gift. Listen to what he says from verses 30 to 32. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. It's no longer promised. I see it before me. That you've prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. So we thought something about the redemption that God brought to Israel and the redemption fee to redeem the firstborn. But did you notice that as Mary and Joseph present Jesus, no money is mentioned. No redemption fee is mentioned. What does that mean? Well, it means that Jesus is given to the Lord because he is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. He's Israel's Redeemer. He's the one, God's eternal Son, who has been set apart on our behalf. Lord's purpose, on our behalf. He's been set apart for what? To fulfill that life of service to God, perfect love to God and to man, that in our weakness, the weakness of sin, we cannot, we could not. He's the firstborn Son set apart as our substitute, just like that Passover lamb. Set apart as a substitute on the cross to redeem us from the death our guilt deserves. Set apart in those two ways. And more than that, but God's gift is not simply to Israel. God's gift is not simply to Israel. That's the big thing that comes out in this song of praise here. Actually, God's light is salvation to all the nations. It just goes out and out and out, and there's no stopping it. Jesus is the glory of Israel, the one who's going to finally and fully release his people. And he's going to do it through securing a salvation that is universal, is worldwide. It's what Paul said in Galatians 3:23-24. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, all that was wrapped up in the law, all that it pictured for us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, the promised Spirit through faith. Notice how often the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the passage. Okay, that's what the Lord gives us through Jesus, life in the Spirit, the promised blessing to Abraham is given to all nations. Now, I don't know what presence you opened up this morning. If you're part of the McKenzie family, that waiting has to go on a little bit longer, that anticipation. But, you know, just imagine, this a bit bonkers, but just imagine that you're opening up a present on that bleak Christmas morning and finding out that you're actually holding the summer sun in your hands, that warmth and that light, this orb of life and light that no one can contain, that no one can escape from. That'd be a present beyond all presents, wouldn't it? And here it is, in Jesus. So, Jesus is the gift of life and light. But how, then, are we meant to respond to this good news? How are we meant to respond to this good news? Well, we read here that Mary and Joseph marveled, don't we? They marveled. They were amazed at what Simeon was saying about Jesus. Is that it? Are we just meant to stand back in amazement and go, oh, that's nice. That's amazing. Now, don't go on for too long because I've got a turkey in the oven and I need to get back to that. Is that what we're meant to respond? It's actually more than that. It's more than that. Simeon goes on. Because Jesus is not simply a gift to us. He's the heart-revealing gift of God. He's a heart-revealing gift of God. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. See, God's great gift to us is intentionally a cause of contention. He's intentionally, for God's purposes, a cause of contention. Maybe that's not normally what we think of when we, you know, so many to around this time seeing a peace and love and pretty groundless basis for that. Here we have something different. This gift is going to be a cause of contention. He will be a sign that is opposed. His life set apart to the glory of the Father, it's going to actually expose murderous hostility towards the Lord and his purposes. And that's intentional, isn't it? We read here, why? Well, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Interesting, isn't it? This light exposes. See, Jesus exposes what's naturally hidden in our hearts. And he reveals true colors of response to our need of redeeming grace. The light actually divides, and divides everyone simply, and divides everyone here today, and divides everyone in the whole world into two camps. You're either in one or in the other. So if you oppose Jesus, if you reject him as the Lord's salvation for you, as Lord over all, then you're heading for a fall. But if you humbly accept Jesus, you will be raised out of darkness, raised from slavery to sin, raised from the fear of death, from the fear of judgment, released into a right relationship with God. There's no alternative. You're in one camp or in the other. So the question is this morning, really, how will you respond to God's gift to you, this great gift, this unmatchable gift this Christmas morning? You see, you can't wrap up this light. You can't wrap up this gift and put it back under the tree. You simply can't do it. Jesus is personal, but he's also cosmic, okay? His redemptive death has been vindicated by God through resurrection. And he is ascended to heaven. He's received all authority and power. And as Phil mentioned already this morning, we are looking forward to his return. The King is returning. For what? Well, to raise all to resurrection who have put their hope and put their faith in him, and also to bring God's judgment upon all who have opposed him. You're either in one camp or you're in the other. So how will you respond to the light? Simeon was known, he's traditionally as Theotokos. Okay? In the Greek, he was known as Theotokos in the church. It simply means God receiver. He received God. And in your weakness, will you receive God's great gift to you? Christ was born on our behalf. He was set apart to the Lord on our behalf so that all who believe in him might receive eternal life, to be redeemed, released, to be forgiven, to be adopted as God's children. That's a blessing of the Holy Spirit, to be adopted as God's children. Ready to depart in peace. No fear of death. To go into the presence of the Lord and await his return and resurrection and new life in the whole new heavens and earth. No fear. Ready to depart in peace. Will you receive that light, that gift of God this morning? And if you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, how will you continue to respond to this light, this gift of God? He's a cause of constant rejoicing, isn't he? Cause of constant rejoicing. That's our first and last response. Praise to God. Over the next week, maybe as we reflect on all that the Lord has shown us, revealed to us through his word, the light of salvation as a church, will that be a cause of rejoicing to you? And as we, in some ways, like Simeon here, this is a real point of transition, isn't it? A real point of transition that's taking place here. The promise at this moment is being fulfilled, and a whole future lies ahead. And this moment as a church, looking forward in gospel partnership, what will that mean for us personally as disciples of Jesus? See, slaves were bought with a price. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus, and that means we're not our own. We too are set apart. We are freed to glorify Christ in the whole of life. What will that look like in our gospel partnership? In our time, in our money, in our giving, in our gifts, in our relationships, all of those things, giving ourselves first to the Lord and to one another. What is that going to look like? Reflect on that. Look back. This time of year, this week before the year, look back, also look forward. Think about what it means to be set apart for the Lord in this place. So how are you going to respond to the light? Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace. So may the Holy Spirit enable each one of us to receive Christ by faith and walk in his light. Amen.